Have you ever wanted to throw out the first pitch at a Cardinals game? Become a Design Air Heating and Cooling customer and you'll get that chance. Call this number now, 314-739-1600. 314-739-1600. Become a Design Air Heating and Cooling customer and you could be throwing out a first pitch and receive four all-inclusive tickets to that game. 314-739-1600. The chance of a lifetime. Thanks to Design Air Heating and Cooling, proud partner of the St. Louis Cardinals.
Hit a home run and get pre-approved for your next refinance or home purchase at thehomeloanexpert.com. Enjoy the podcast.
Wednesday morning and a chance to visit with Brian Walton of thecardinalnation.com. And Brian, as you can read his work, 365 days a year, 7 days a week, covers the Cardinals minor league system as well as the major leagues as well. And before the game last night in L.A., the Cardinals, they called up Junior Fernandez. And without getting into specifics last night, Brian, let's just talk in a general sense about this young man. He has been talked about a lot as we jump into this every Wednesday with Brian Walton on ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. Junior Fernandez, tell me what the Cardinals and their fans are getting in this young man.
Well, Junior Fernandez is a guy who was signed by the Cardinals almost 5 years ago. As a teenager out of the Dominican Republic, and you know, did the standard work up through the system, had a lot of potential as a starting pitcher. Then he ran into health problems, shoulder problems, among others, at Palm Beach. And he basically lost 2 years. I mean, he pitched a little bit in between rehabs and all, but and during that point in time, he kind of fell off the prospect radar, and it looked like, you know, Junior Fernandez was going to be a guy who, you know, wasn't going to make it after all. I mean, he's always had high 90s fastball. He's also got a very, very good changeup, almost going to quality as his fastball. So he's got two strong pitches, also throws a slider. But the Cardinals, when he came back, they moved him into relief. And this season, he's pitched at three different levels. St. Louis will be his fourth level. So he started at Palm Beach, moved up to Springfield, then to Memphis. And the interesting thing about this, Dan, is he got better at every level. So in Palm Beach, his ERA was about 1.5. Same at Springfield. Batting average against 190 at Palm Beach, down to 176 at Springfield, down to 153 at Memphis. In the Pacific Coast League, batters are hitting 153 against him. His ERA 1.31 in 15 games. So Junior Fernandez has been a spectacular. 23 strikeouts in 20 and two-thirds innings. He's been spectacular at Memphis, and it's really a nice success story, especially when you realize that Junior Fernandez was left exposed in the Rule 5 draft last December. So just 9 months ago, any team in the majors could have had him for nothing, and they all passed. And obviously it was his health history, but apparently he's put that behind him, and now he's making his major league debut at the age of 22.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about his health history. Dive into that a little bit, Brian. What did he deal with to get to this point?
Well, primarily shoulder problems, and as a result, you know, he missed a lot of 2017 and 2018. And again, he'd already reached Palm Beach. In 2017, he was a starter at Palm Beach, but when he came back in 2018, he only appeared in 8 games, got hurt again as a reliever, and then moved up briefly to Springfield and took some knocks last year, probably because he wasn't quite back ready. Walked as many as he struck out at AA in his first turn last year, and now he's got the free passes, you know, back under control, and he's pitching extremely successfully, like I said, across three levels.
What do you think that that'll transpire into what he does here at the major league level? What are you looking for? What do you expect out of the next couple of months?
Well, I don't think he's necessarily going to move right into the eighth and ninth inning hierarchy. But he's a guy who can give him, he has pitched multiple innings, doesn't do it a lot, but he's capable of definitely doing that. I don't think he's going to be a long man in the traditional sense. He'll be more of a middle innings guy. But, you know, as we've seen with Giovanni Gallegos, if you come in and do the job, you begin to get more and more meaningful innings and more meaningful opportunities. And certainly Junior Fernandez, I mean, you know, most players have some bumps and bruises when they reach the major league. So I don't think Junior Fernandez is going to be the difference maker in the 2019 season. But if he pitches like he's continued to pitch every time he's moved up, you know, he could be a positive contributor to the bullpen in some role this year.
Is he the best minor league reliever that the Cardinals have this year, in your opinion?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah,
it's not even close.
Now, let me qualify that, because as you know, and as the listeners know, the top starters that the Cardinals picked up in the draft this year, I'm talking about Zach Thompson, Tony Losi, They're both relieving, but only because they're trying to keep their innings down. So they're technically relievers this year, but and they're probably, at least Thompson's probably a better prospect than Fernandez, but obviously what Junior has is, you know, he's shown his stuff in AAA and he's major league ready, and that means a lot.
Absolutely. I want to go through some of the top prospects. We're through the trade deadline now and get into what's happening in the minor leagues of the St. Louis Cardinals. So the Cardinals hold on to Nolan Gorman. A lot of teams were asking about him. Where is Nolan Gorman right now, and what have you seen out of his year? How would you be able to kind of sum up what's happened with Nolan Gorman?
Before I answer specifically about Nolan Gorman, I just want to, kind of come back to your point about the trade deadline. I almost wonder if the Cardinals were hindered in their trade talks because Dylan Carlson and Nolan Gorman are, such a cut above the prospects in the rest of the system. That's taking nothing away from the Lane Thomases and Jake Woodfords and all. But those guys are the guys that everybody knows about. They're the guys that are on the top 100 list. And by the Cardinals taking those guys kind of, off the table, those were, of course, probably the players that other organizations wanted, and maybe they just weren't as interested in the next tier down. But to answer your question, Nolan Gorman is at Palm Beach, where he arrived in late June. He had a good month in July, hit .277. I think the most impressive part, he drove in 16 runs in 26 games, which is good production. The downside, he only walked three times all month, so his walk rate's down in the 2% range. So batting average .277, but OBP at only .298. His slugging was fine. He only hit a couple home runs, but, the home runs were really down since that first month in Peoria as he was trying to focus, I think, on striking out less. Slugging .436, OPS .734. Good, not great, but certainly not concerning. I think that, the challenge will be for him to, try to get a little more selective at the plate. He's, he's brought the average up. That's a good thing. But, he's still driving in the runs.
In terms of Dylan Carlson, how about him and where he sits right now?
Well, the thing, every time you ask me about Dylan Carlson, I talk about consistency. And actually, Dylan Carlson has had, good months all season long, basically. But his month of July was his best month yet. He hit seven home runs and drove in and had seven doubles. So we're talking about 14 extra base hits out of his 28. So that's pretty impressive right there. He drew 13 walks. So that's again, another good thing. Batted .301, on base .389, slugging .602. So, OPS just a hair under 1,000. Just a very, very strong July for Dylan Carlson.
When you look at the Cardinals minor league system right now, Brian, what are folks saying about the Cardinals and their system and where they're at? They're not as successful in terms of winning wins and losses, but where are they right now in terms of development of players and some of those guys being close to being brought up to the major leagues?
Well, again, the Cardinals system has really taken a little bit of a downturn. They've called up, a number of players to the major leagues who have been contributors, in the recent, guys like Tommy Edman and now Junior Fernandez. But the guys that are kind of filling in behind haven't necessarily been of the same ilk. Now, Memphis has been hit with a lot of injuries, but, they're significantly below .500. Springfield has improved in the second half. They're about playing about .500, but primarily because they got the group of good pitchers that were at Palm Beach. But now Palm Beach is a last place team in the second half. Peoria is a last place team. So, there are some definite problem areas in terms of, normally the Cardinals, even if they don't have the high number of top 100 prospects, they have such good prospects across the board, they typically have winning teams. And this year is kind of an anomaly for the Cardinals system with so many teams with losing records. It's very unusual.
What has happened with the outfield now of the Cardinals in at Memphis, the Redbirds, with Bader down, Thomas up, and then specifically, what have you seen from Harrison Bader? What are the reports on him?
Well, Harrison Bader, has been struggling. Unfortunately, he's the hits that he's had since he's gone down have been singles. Now, of course, his defense is what you would expect it to be. But since he's gone down to Memphis, he's only played in a half a dozen games, and of his six hits, they were all singles. Five strikeouts, so .250 batting average, OPS .583. Nothing stands out. Stole the one base that he tried to attempt, but. There's nothing yet in the first week of Harrison Bader in Memphis screaming, hey, bring him back up right away. Because, as we know, Lane Thomas is already up. He's not really getting any time. Randy Arozarena's, you know, been tearing the cover off the ball, and there's no place for him. So, you know, part of the problem right now is with the veteran outfielders, and of course, Marcelo Ozuna is now back from injury, and of course, you're going to put him in the lineup every day. So even with Tyler O'Neill injured, there just aren't a lot of at-bats for these young outfielders.
Randy Arozarena, it's one of the most commonly asked questions I get. Why isn't he up? Well, he's not on the 40-man, but you can create roster space. You can get creative. Tell me about Randy Arozarena.
Well, if Dylan Carlson has been consistent each month, which he has since, well, really this entire year, first at Double A and now at Triple A, Randy Arozarena has been even better. I mean, he's had in July, his OPS was over 1,000, 1047, batted 378, but also took 10 walks. So an on-base percentage, 455. I mean, just spectacular leading off. Now, you know, he's not a big stolen base guy. He only had 3 steals and 6 attempts. So, you know, nothing special there. But he showed a little bit of power, 14 extra base hits, showed some run production, 14 RBI in 26 games. So, and he's a, you know, a very solid defender. But again, like I said, you know, with the discussion before, you know, you bring Randy up, you want to play him. And so where are you going to put him?
I would assume that he's got to be a September call-up. I mean, you got to add him to the roster at some point and figure out a way to see what you have with him. Would you agree?
Yes, but again, if the Cardinals are in a pennant race, you know, are they going to sit Dexter Fowler to see what Randy Arozarena can do? I haven't seen any indication that they're willing to you know, rest the veterans. Now, if they continue on this, you know, losing stretch that they've been in, and they're really not in contention, then absolutely. But yeah, Randy Arozarena will get called up, but I don't know how much he's going to get to play unless, you know, something changes.
What is his?
You know, obviously, there could be an injury,
sure,
or something like that that could open up playing time. But I'm talking about if everybody stays healthy and they're in contention, you know, it's going to be hard for a young guy to get any at bats.
Where has he been playing? And then you mentioned he's been leading off, correct?
Yeah, and they put him in center field even when Lane Thomas was down in Memphis, even though Lane Thomas was the regular center fielder, and he's probably a better center fielder defensively. They wanted Jaume Zalak and Gary Larocque asked that Arozarena play in center field every day at Memphis, and they moved Thomas over to left just so they could see, you know, whether Arozarena was, you know, able defensively to cut it, because, you know, everybody knew at that point in time that Harrison Bader was struggling and they were going to be, you know, looking for a plan B. And, you know, Arozarena has just continued to hit exceptionally well, batted 370 in June, 378 in July, and so far this month, 400. So, you know, hotter.
Absolutely. How about Jake Woodford? That's another name that we hear a lot about that has been in the rotation at Memphis. Give me an idea on what he's been doing this year.
You know, Jake Woodford, all-star in the Pacific Coast League, pitching really well through June. And in July, he really kind of hit the wall. And walks have always been kind of a problem for Jake, but the walks accelerated in July, 15 and 22 and a third innings. And his ERA for the month in his 4 starts in July, 7.25. So, you know, not something you want to see, but, you know, maybe he's getting tired. He's already thrown about 120 innings. So, you know, he's getting up there in terms of his career high, and it may just be that he's, you know, he's running out of gas. Now, his first start in August, he allowed 4 runs in 6 innings, but still, that's an ERA of 6, and not what you want to see for a guy who you're, you know, everybody's kind of wondering, okay, is he like the next starter to be tried? And right now, Jake Woodford doesn't have the momentum that screams, you know, call me, add me to the roster and call me up.
Are you ready for the boys of summer? Well, pull up a front row seat at Hot Shot Sports Bar and Grill for all the Cardinals action this season at one of their 11 area locations. During every Cardinals game, you can enjoy the new Hot Shots Triple Play Special featuring a large pizza, order of boneless wings, and a bucket of Bud Family bottles, available for a great price. Also, be sure to join the party on the last Tuesday of each month this season for Hot Shots Ticket Tuesday and your shot to score a pair of tickets to an upcoming game. Don't forget to score $1 Hot Shots Tacos any day after the Cardinals score 8 or more runs. Hot Shots, proud home of Cardinal fans since 1990. Your home for all the games, all the time. Find a Hot Shots location near you. HotShotsNet.com. Hair Salon for Men, proud sponsor of ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. Home base in St. Louis, founded in 1997. 16 locations. You'll receive the perfect haircut, complimentary beverage, relaxing shampoo, hot towel and a mint, complimentary shoe shine, all for just $22. And for an extra $5, get a stress-relieving scalp massage. Hair Saloon for Men, 16 locations. There's one near you. Hair Saloon for Men. More features keep rolling out on the Schnucks Rewards app, all designed to simplify shopping. Your rewards points still continue to pile up, earning you money off your next purchase. But now you can create customizable and shareable shopping lists. Shop for your family's dietary needs with the new wellness icons. Gluten-free, organic, heart smart, it's all covered. So this week, simplify shopping. Try the new features on the Schnucks Rewards app. Shopping will never be the same. Schnucks Rewards. Download it today.
Yeah, it is. Is interesting. Is there a comp with him that he reminds you of, Brian, Jake Woodford at all?
I'm not really big into comps. I'm not a scout by trade, and so I don't really have a good feel for it. I will say though that Jake's not a high velocity strikeout guy. He's more of a pitcher controlling his various offerings. But I don't really have a name to tie to him.
I got you. And a final question. The trade deadline is come and gone, and we started our conversation with this, but now that you do not have, you know, the waiver claims and the the waiver deals that are being done, how has that affected the minor leagues, if at all?
Well, it has a big effect, but, you know, it's interesting, Dan. A lot of folks don't know that non-40-man roster players can still be traded. So, you know, until yesterday, Junior Fernandez was still eligible to be traded. Not that they will be, but Carlson, Rosarena, Gorman, they could all still be traded. And but, of course, they're not going to fetch a major leaguer in return. They're going to fetch another non-40-man roster player. So you'd have to line up with another organization that had the player on the cusp of the majors, like a Rosarena, to flip him, you know, for a pitcher, a top minor league starting pitcher or whatever, you know, whatever the Cardinals need. So, you know, there still could be some trades, even though the deadline is passed.
Always great stuff, Brian. We'll catch up with you next Wednesday. And before I let you go, thecardinalnation.com, what do you have going on right now? And for fans that maybe are tuned in for the first time, tell them about your site.
Well, we have recaps of all the days, the prior days, minor league games up every morning and links so you can catch up on all the action in one place. We have in-depth team reports, so one of the minor league teams each day. We have an in-depth deep dive. And on Wednesday, that's the Palm Beach Cardinals, High A Palm Beach Cardinals. Yesterday, Derek Shore, our Springfield correspondent, had a really good feature on Zach Kirtley, who's a first baseman for Springfield, who is really having a breakout year at AA this year. So, you know, we continue to – and then, of course, you know, all the transactions, all the moves – what that means in terms of rotations and starting lineups and rosters, we break all those down as well. And moves continue to occur across the minor league system, as you would expect. For example, when a need comes in St. Louis, there's a domino series of moves that might affect 2, 3, 4 different minor league levels as well, as players get moved up or moved down to cover the gaps.
Great stuff, Brian. Thank you so much, and we'll catch up next Wednesday.
You got it, Dan.